Going to be taking a survey this morning, kind of the letter of Galatians. So if you'd like to find that letter in your Bible or on your phone, you may do so now. We'll be looking at a few different texts in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I want to start in Galatians 5 and just read verse 1. There, Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." A Persian general was conducting the execution of a prisoner. The prisoner was standing in an outside court-like area with thick walls all around. He was standing in front of a firing squad, and behind him was a big, black, foreboding door. So the general calls out to the prisoner and says, "You've got a choice. Do you want to end this quickly by choosing the firing squad? Or do you want to choose to walk through that black door and face what's on the other side of it?" The prisoner quickly chose the firing squad, and he was executed. There was a witness to the execution who was talking to the general after the fact. And the witness said, I'm just curious, what's on the other side of the black door?" And that general said, "On the other side of that door is freedom. And I've known very few men who are brave enough to take it." On this Independence Day, as we, as America, as American citizens, think about freedom, I have a question for you. Are you brave enough to walk through the door? Are you brave enough to accept real, true freedom? Will you let Jesus set you free? And you say, okay, well, that means this message will be for non-Christians then, right? Because those of us who are Christians have already been set free by Jesus. Nope. I have known and continue to know many Christians who live in bondage. They are living in a prison of their own choosing. The door is unlocked, and they can walk out whenever they choose, but they stay in mental or emotional or spiritual prison. And that's how they live. Jesus has set them free theoretically, but they don't live free practically. Jesus has set them free theologically, but they don't experience and live in and feel the freedom that Jesus offers. And I want to say to all of us, will you let Jesus set you free? Jesus said, and Zach read it really well just a moment ago, "You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Paul, writing to the Galatian Christian, says, Jesus has set you free. Are you brave enough to live in that freedom? The book of Galatians is the Christian's declaration of independence. And let's take a little brief survey here, and let's notice a few things. I think I'll mention three this morning, from which Jesus has set us free, but some people haven't experienced really that freedom yet, even Christians. Three things. Number one, Jesus can set us free from the grip of guilt. From the grip of guilt. If you're in Galatians, I want to look at Chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is part of Paul's salutation as he begins the letter. Galatians 1, 3. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. A lot of people, including Christians, feel bound up by guilt this Independence Day. Dr. Harold Hazelip wrote a book entitled Questions People Ask Ministers Most. And as the title suggests, what he did was he looked back over 40 plus years of ministry and he made a list of the questions that he had been asked most frequently by Christians and non-Christians. And he wrote a chapter about each of these major questions. Right at the top of the list, how do I deal with guilt and regret? People want to know how to deal with guilt. There are people who will visit the doctor today with stress-related symptoms. And what they need is the medicine of forgiveness. They need to be forgiven and they need to feel forgiven. There are people who will see a therapist this week and what they really need is to be forgiven and feel forgiven. But how can we do that? How do we find forgiveness? How do we walk out of the prison of guilt? After all, we all make mistakes. We all fall short, as Chris mentioned in his prayer a moment ago. We all sin. We know our sin hurts us. It hurts those we love. It hurts the world around us. It hurts God. We know that. How do we deal with that? Paul tells us very simply, we allow Jesus to set us free. This letter is about freedom, and Paul gets right to the heart of the matter right here in the introduction. He gets to the heart of the problem, which is sin, and the heart of the solution, which is Jesus. Jesus gave himself for our sins. If you are in the grip of guilt this morning, do what the Bible says about forgiveness and believe what the Bible says about forgiveness. Now, if you're a non-Christian, what the Bible says about forgiveness is this: repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what you do. If you're a Christian and you're living in the grip of guilt, what you do is confess your sin, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins as we confess, 1 John chapter 1. So that's what we do. We do what the Bible says to receive forgiveness, but then we trust what the Bible says about forgiveness. When I bring my sins to God through Jesus Christ, he forgives me immediately. He forgives me fully. He forgives me finally. And he doesn't bring up those sins again. And many of us as Christians just flat out can't believe that. I know as I'm confessing my sins, as I did this morning before I climbed up in this pulpit, one of the things I do is I confess and bring God my repentance is I will say at the conclusion of that prayer, Lord, I receive your forgiveness, not by feeling, but by faith. And there are many times when I ask for forgiveness and I don't really feel like I've been forgiven. And that's when I say, nope, God said that he forgives. I take him at his word. I take it by faith. And then when I do that, I find that the feeling starts to come around later and I feel forgiven. So if you can't take God's forgiveness by feeling, then just accept it by faith and know that God is forgiving you. I love what Micah says in 7:19 of his Old Testament book. Speaking to God about his forgiveness, he says, you will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. And then I would add, and then God says, no fishing. God says, I'm going to throw your sins in the depths of the sea as you repent of them and confess them. And I'm not going to fish them out later. And you don't fish them out later. and you can be free from the grip of guilt. Number two, Jesus can set us free from the prison of perfection. If you're in Galatians chapter 3, the first three verses, here's another thief of freedom, and it's called, at least I call it, perfectionism. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's tricked you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now trying to be made perfect by the flesh? Paul was writing to some Christians who were perfectionists. A perfectionist believes that he or she must be perfect in order to please God. He or she must be perfect in every way for God to love him and for God to save her. And perfectionism is a thief of freedom. We don't know where perfectionism starts. It may be wired into us because of genetics. Certainly environment has something to do with it. Maybe someone here was raised with perfectionist parents. If you brought home a B, it should have been an A. If you brought home an A, it should have been an A plus. If you brought home an A plus, the class must have been too easy and the teacher too lenient. If you made a basket in the junior pro game, it should have been two baskets. If you got a hit, it should have been two hits. And when you just act like a kid and mess up with your behavior, you're treated like an adult who should know better, even though you don't know better yet, and you're still trying to learn. And on it goes. And then that child can grow up and become a Christian, and then God assumes the role of the perfectionist parent. And God is a parent who can't be pleased. No matter how much I worship, no matter how many songs I sing, no matter how many prayers I pray, no matter how much money I give, no matter how many acts of service, I have this gnawing feeling. It's not good enough for God to love me or save me. It's never good enough. And for those people, their relationship with God is not the blessing it ought to be. It becomes just another burden in their lives. And Paul says, if you live that way, you're foolish. Perfectionism was robbing some of the Galatian Christians of their freedom. How are we going to overcome this problem? How are we going to let Jesus set us free? I love Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Listen to this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What am I going to do? I'm going to take my faith, and it might be as small as a mustard seed, but I'm going to take it to Jesus, and Jesus is going to make it perfect and pleasing to God the Father. And I'm going to trust that Jesus is going to do that. I'm taking my faith to him. He's going to perfect it. And then I'm going to do everything I can in service to him, and he's going to do what I can't. Jesus can set us free from the prison of perfection. And then third and finally for this morning, Jesus can set us free from the slavery of sin. From the slavery of sin. Now, there have been some people out there, I'll bet you, that haven't liked this message very much so far. Because you say, now, Mike, the real problem is we look at freedom and we see freedom as meaning we can do whatever we want to do. Well, if you tuned me out about 10 minutes ago, welcome back, because you're going to like this last point, okay? Let's look at chapter 5 of Galatians. Let's look at verse 13 and then verses 19 and following. This is Galatians 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Most people don't understand freedom. Most people who are celebrating freedom and talking about freedom in America today don't understand it. Because what most people think freedom is this. Freedom is the ability for me to do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, as much as I want to do it, without criticism or without consequences. And folks, that's what America believes. Charles Colson was speaking to a group of newspapers reporters in a large city. He was talking to them about morality and ethics. And it was kind of a small group of reporters, so he let each reporter introduce himself or herself and then talk about something in their career as a reporter, as a journalist that they were proud of. And he came to one particular reporter and he said, well, what I'm proud of is that I led the charge in this city through my articles and my advocacy and my speaking to get the Ten Commandments removed from the walls of all schools. That's what I'm proud of. And Colson's a Christian. And he just kind of took that comment and he put it in his back pocket and he said, I wonder if I'll be able to use that a little bit later. Not 20 minutes later, the same reporter was bemoaning the fact that there was so much crime and violence and theft in the public schools in that city. And Colson paused for a minute and then looked at the man and he said, you know, it's almost like somebody should write, thou shall not steal, and put it on the wall. America thinks freedom is freedom from all restraint. And what Americans are asking for is we want to live without restraint, but we want protection from the chaos that ensues when we live without restraints. And you can't have it both ways. True freedom is not the ability to do as you wish. True freedom is the ability to do as you ought. And until I get that in my spiritual eyes, I'm going to be imprisoned to sin. And until we get that as a nation and as a culture, we're going to continue to live in this chaos that we're facing. Somebody says, well, I don't want anything to do with God because nobody is going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to be anybody's servant or slave. And I would say, sir, you're a servant or a slave to something. Ernest Hemingway was a gifted writer, no question about that. But he famously lived that playboy lifestyle. He was a world traveler and an adventurer and a womanizer and a drinker, could drink anybody under the table and on and on. And that, in combination with his good looks and his strong spirit and his incredible ability as a writer, made him very, very famous culturally. When he was about 60 years old, there was an article in a national publication about Ernest Hemingway. Talked about that wild, manly playboy lifestyle that he had led for 60 years. The article ended with a little biblical reference. The article ended by saying, you know, they say the wages of sin is death, but for Ernest Hemingway, sin seems to have paid off pretty well. He was so admired. And not 6 months after that article was published, Ernest Hemingway put a shotgun to his head and pulled the trigger. He wasn't free. He was a slave to sin. If you are a slave to some habit that you don't like, the only answer is Jesus sets you free. Freedom is this: Jesus will allow you and enable you to serve God as God designed you, created you to serve Him. I have a family member who is an addict, and he has been to numerous rehabs. And some of them are where the stars go and cost who knows how much money. When he's talking about things now, he's been to rehab so much, he'll think, and he said, that was about three rehabs ago, wasn't it? He's doing better right now, and he told me not long ago, the only thing that has ever helped me is God. And the only place that I've ever been that really helps me is church. And the only people who have really helped me are Christians. He understands only Jesus can set us free in the truest sense. Jesus can set us free from the guilt, the grip of guilt, the prison of perfection, the slavery of sin. We like to talk this time of year, and rightly so, about Patrick Henry's famous statement. Y'all remember it, don't you? The patriotic statement. Give me liberty or give me death. What an incredible statement. But Jesus said something far greater. Jesus said, give them liberty and give me death. Have you taken him up on that? He can set you free. He can set you free mentally and emotionally and, best of all, spiritually. Have you let him? If not, come to him in faith. Confess your sins. Confess your desire to turn from your style of life to God's style. And let him wash away your sins in the waters of baptism. We invite you to that, and we encourage you to come as together we stand and as we sing.